Hello everyone. We are starting with chapter 4, Managing Diversity. What does diversity mean to you? Is it only counting numbers? Or is it about having equal number of men, women, equal number of, equal ratio of gender, age, different people? Let's understand what diversity is actually all about and how do we manage it. So let's see what are the learning objectives in front of us. For the next 1.5 hours, we're going to have these learning objectives accomplished. What is diversity, diversity management, and what are the different diverse workplaces? The various factors that encourage diversity. So what is it that encourages us to move towards diversity? What are the features of diversity and the various advantages as well as disadvantages of diversity management? So these are the learning outcomes in front of us for the chapter that we are embarking on. Diversity, we are also going to deep dive on the different initiatives and interventions that we undertake and the best practices that we associate with regards to diversity. What are the barriers to diversity management? Now, once we are, we have decided to manage the diversity within the organization, what are the barriers, some of the barriers that we come across, and what will be the outcomes of ignoring diversity? What is the role HR plays in diversity management? Impact of diversity of individuals as well as groups. I hope all of you are clear with the learning objectives. Let's define diversity. What is diversity mean to you? Diversity is refers to differences amongst people in terms of gender, in terms of dimensions across age, ethnicity, race, gender, physical ability, color of your skin. All of these differences refers to the diversity as defined by Richard Deft in 2007. When we talk about diversity, when we try to define diversity, we not only just count numbers, we talk about what are the different ways and means of involving people of different origins and working together. So that's what is your workplace diversity. That's what is your typical definition of a diversity. The practice of including or involving people from a range of different social and ethnic background and of different genders, sexual orientations is another definition of diversity. So how do we practice, how do we inculcate this whole culture of having people with different origins, coming from different sects, coming from different grades, different genders, different sexual preferences? All of these gives us the definition of diversity. Now, another angle that we can see here is that people with different opinions, backgrounds, which means degrees and social experiences, the kind of backgrounds that they come from, the kind of values that they have lived by, the religious beliefs that they have, political beliefs, everybody, all of us have got our political preferences, isn't it? So each one of us brings into the table different political beliefs. The sexual orientations. The orientation of the person can differ. You know, we can't have one preference all the time. The heritage and life experience. So if you see, diverse teams make better decisions up to 87% of the time. Research says that up to 87% of the time, the people with diverse backgrounds always make better decisions. They always come up with a great strategic decision in which comes to implementation very, very successfully. So all male, if for example the group of people in the organization who's taking the decision is all male, 58% is the success story that they're talking about. So this is the percentage of the time a better decision is being made. Okay, so success stories around business decisions. Average team, it's 66%. When you have gender diversity, it is when you have male, female, a healthy ratio, you have a 70th, because you have all kinds of people taking part in the decision-making process. Hence, it's substantially increasing, stark difference from 58% to 73%. Then you have age and gender diversity. You have aged people, you have youngsters, you have middle-aged. So you have a complete cohesive group of people working together and making decisions. So you have all lenses around while taking the decision. Hence, it's again goes up. So it goes up to 80%. Then you go to the highest percent, which is your percentage, which is your 87%, which says it makes better decisions. Age plus gender plus geographic diversity. Now, because of the thanks to pandemic, we are able to interact and work with people from different geographies, isn't it? Different countries, you know, right? Right now, you might be sitting in IST, and then you will be talking to someone in the Europe or somebody in the US. So hence, your timings will be different. But then you're getting to know his thoughts and opinions far aside, you know, when the person is so much distance away, but at the same time, a different country called together, but you're working together. Hence, you're bringing in his beliefs, his opinions, his background, everything in together. You're collaborating to be able to bring a success story around. So that's where your decision making improves further up, which is 87%. I hope that's clear to everyone. Now, defining workplace diversity. Now, what do you understand by workplace diversity? At work, people are different in their ideologies, don't you think so? Everybody brings in his own ideologies together, drives and perceptions. Everybody has a different perception of each and everything and respond differently to the stimuli from the organization. The decision has been taken at the organization. Everybody reacts differently to that decision regarding managing their performances. So everybody in the organization has got their own motives, own drives, own perceptions, and thus they respond differently to the stimuli which comes from the organization with regards to their performance. Diversity is further bifurcated in following types. So there are three types that diversity is bifurcated into. First is your social diversity, which talks about your age, your ethics, the gender. Example, the school pass out children are being hired big time by technology companies as coders. Okay, whereas you have people who's in the organization, whereas the median age was about 30, 35. But then suddenly this whole host of coders who has come who are not more than 19, 20 years, 21 years old. Okay, what do? We work together. So that's what is your social diversity is all about. Second is your value diversity. So value diversity is talks about psychological differences in personality and attitude. So here, having people people having folks having Down syndromes with them, some stressed people with different kind of personality. So working together. So that's what is your value diversity. Extrovert personality, working with an introvert personality. An introvert personality might not even interact with anyone unless and until it is required or asked for. Okay, and whereas an extrovert person, I might find very difficult working with a group of introvert personalities because he's out and out, very, very social, very, very approachable. He would like to talk to people around and it becomes very difficult if he's not able to talk. So hence, these are the different value diversities that we can see within the workplace. The third one is your informational diversity, which is about educational backgrounds, functional tenure in the organization. For example, you have really seasoned in the organization. You have been a finance employee for 8 years or 9 years. So hence you're aware of most of the things, and somebody new coming in and joining in the finance team becomes, there is a difference that is there with a person who is already seasoned in the organization and the person who is recently coming. So you have to work together in such a fashion that you're adapting to the informational diversity as well. For the definitions of workplace diversity, diversity being so dynamic, every day in and day out, we are going through changes. Some people in the organization are different from others, that a standard manner of managing them is impossible. Have you heard the term one size fits all? You make gone are those days, isn't it? That, you know, you print 200 t-shirts for the entire HR team of the same size. And everybody wears that. You know, it used to be like that earlier. Now, everybody, even in football team, cricket matches, you can see everybody's t-shirt or the uniform is designed as per their body shape. Right? So, because everybody is unique and everybody wants to feel special. Gone are those days that, you know, you just make one design and it fits everyone. So hence is the diversity. You can't have one particular process and then that is adopted by all. Okay, so and everybody is different from each other, and hence a standard process of managing the diverse backgrounds is not possible. Workforce diversity means a workforce made of different human qualities or who belong to various cultural groups. This is what, again, Richard Daft has said. Okay, so it means a workforce of different origins, different human qualities, different qualities, different characteristics that they bring along, and who belong to different cultural groups as well, and coming together and working with a shared vision of the organization. It is a deliberate effort made by the leaders of an organization to hire diverse talent. And nowadays, every organization is going gung-ho about diversity and inclusion. You must have seen it. If you open a LinkedIn job sites, a job portal, you will see there, have at least one or two posts where they mention that we want women employee. Specifically, we need somebody who was on a break, who has taken a sabbatical and wants to do a comeback. So every organization is trying to focus on bringing in, making it an inclusive workplace. Hence, it's a deliberate attempt made by the leaders to hire diverse talent and support an inclusive workplace, which values and protects each of its employees equally by providing resources to learn from and connect with and respect individual differences. So this has to be done at the top and has to be percolated down. And it has to be deliberately done. It has to be done step by step, process by process. Only then everybody is going to feel that, yes, it is an inclusive organization and we all feel valued. Each of us are given due respect as an individual because of our differences, and we are not being pinpointed we are not being corrected because of our differences that we bring along. Everybody realizes or believes that the culture of the organization is being inclusive and being celebrating each other's individual. Now there's a trend which is growing in teams, the need for individuals to work together for the benefit of the organization. Okay, so this is a growing trend of working in teams. And nowadays it's all, as we have spoken about it in the previous chapters as well, that gone are those days where you have subunits, units and all of that. It is more of empowered teams nowadays. Okay, so hence to be able to work together with different people is very, very vital. And managing diversity may refer to the actions of the organization which are designed to build high level inclusion of people from diverse backgrounds into the formal and informal organizational structures through conscious policies and practices. As I mentioned in the beginning, you cannot have just the number. You cannot have just the saying that, okay, we have, you know, a 50-50 ratio or we have a 60-40 ratio. It's not bad. But at the same time, you also have to have inclusive structures in place, and you also have to have policies around, conscious policies and practices around that. It has to support that. Your policies have to support that diversity. You cannot continue with the policies which are there where you had, 80% of the shop floor members and only 20% women, and women were into the white collar jobs. So then you probably have to relook at your practices that you have. You may have to look at your infrastructure. You might have to look at the policies. Okay, so all these might have to be relooked at to be able to manage the diversity that you're trying to build on now. With the globalization and rise in global companies, you are constantly being in touch with global employees, people from different origins, and the sphere of diversity management has enlarged to a great extent. And it not only involves managing differences of workforce within one country or one region, but also the workforce differences across the countries and regions. Because you are talking about now a globalization, you're talking about global management of diversity. So you, if you are managing the diversity of your, and your organization has, it's a multinational company, has presence in 13, 14, 15 countries, you have to have manage the differences of workforce within, from one country to the other country, to one region to the other region as well. Every region may have a different requirement, and you have to follow the local laws and then make it inclusive for all. Okay, and it has to, it cannot be contrast, but at the same time it has to be similar policies and practices, but in line and in cognizance of the local authorities. Diversity management also refers to a strategic organizational approach to workforce development. It's a strategic decision where workforce has been developed, and all organizational culture change and empowerment of the workforce is consciously being enacted on. Consciously, diversity has been worked on so that, you know, people are developing on the context. People are feeling the organizational culture is felt that it's an organization of diverse background, having a workforce which is very, very diverse. And this is what Patricia Arredondo had defined in 1996. So let's see what are those factors which encourages diversity, which enhances diversity. So when you talk about diversity, diversity alone is not going to mix. You know, if you can just say that we are a very diverse organization, we are looking at extending the diversity policy, that will not work. Okay, so there are various factors that you have to also consider which will further enhance and encourage the whole concept of diversity within the workplace. So, you know, few factors like increasing the number of women at work, increasing value of older population. Okay, so a lot of times it happens that, you know, you see that the average age group of the organization is maybe median is maybe 35 or maybe 40, and you do not encourage people when you have VRS schemes, and the moment the people, you feel that the people have grown is in age, maybe they have become 55, 58 odd, you start giving them VRSs and all of that because you prefer younger staffed organization. That's the culture that you would prefer. So hence we need to increase the value of old population, old in terms of old in the organization and also older in the age. Political diversity. Okay, so we have to have, we have to encourage people from different political backgrounds, different types of employees. Okay, what are different types of employees which are coming into the organization? Racial diversity. These are self-explanatory, I'm sure you'll understand. Economic payback and social responsibility. You have to be at par of other organizations. You cannot be saying that, you know, we are this kind of an organization, hence we will pay less. So at par pay concept for relevant jobs, legal requirements that are there, capacity building strategy, globalization, migration. When you have people moving from one country to the other, you have migrations happening, you're adopting those, encourage those, encourage globalization, encourage hiring people from anywhere in the world. Now that the world has become even flatter than earlier, we should encourage hiring people from anywhere in the geography should not matter in hiring now. If the candidate is credential enough, there should be no reason to not hire just because of his geography. Dimension. Now, what do you mean by globalization here? So, few of the factors that we can discuss under diversity is that when you talk about globalization, owing to globalization, the market barriers have been removed, resulting in free flow of goods, services, skills, resources, ideas. Right, so because of the market being so exposed to the globalization, the challenges that we face we used to face earlier have been completely been taken care of. Okay, had been removed now because of the free flow of goods. We do not have any pressure, any link that any e-commerce site that we can go and we can order something which is not available in India and or some services which are not available in our country, and you buy and borrow the service from some other country. hire people with different skill sets, ideas, etc. Everything has become very, very flat and very easily accessible now because of the globalization and migration now. Particularly, this movement is of people from different regions. Okay, so from developing, especially from the developing regions, which increases populations of younger people to developed regions with declining population of young people. Okay, so there might be chance that, you know, you might end up having people, employees with more than above the median age. So how do we actually take care of this owing to migration? Okay, because of the migration, when you move from one region to the other, there could be, because there are certain age limits which are available. So now suddenly we see that somebody who has migrated all the way to Canada from India, and then he is now, joining the organization, moving into the organization of that region. He is in the same organization, but he has joined the team in Canada from the team in India. And now that team in Canada compared to the team in India is much more younger. You know, the whole average age group is much more lesser than what it was in India. But then that shouldn't be an obstacle for this person to settle down, right? So an organization should encourage these kind of diversities owing to migration which takes place. Having women at work. There are changes that are happening in family dynamics, such as, you know, structuring of tasks among the members, size of the families are changing, some families are becoming very small, some families are becoming extended, level of education and changing consumption patterns has changed. The number of women active in the working population has drastically changed in the last couple of years. So hence, bringing in more women at work will definitely encourage the diversity numbers. Increasing the value of older population, which we have already discussed in the graphic stage. Organizations are facing shortage of skills, as we have been discussing this in the previous chapters also. There's a dearth of skills now. And with development of healthcare facilities, the older population is staying active at work because everybody has started taking. Now, haven't you seen in the last 4-5 years, health has been taken so seriously by people? And they really work hard to remain fit. Eating habits have improved compared to earlier. Sleeping habits have improved. Overall, there has been a drastic change with regards to health and vigor, which has been done. So hence the value of older population definitely is looked at improving. Political diversity. In most organizations, different individuals have different political ideologies and affiliations. So be it. We cannot change that. We cannot sit and change that. Okay, you know what? You should be happy with this particular party which is there in power. If that's what the group or the individuals feel, we cannot do much about it. Rather, work together by adapting his viewpoint. Different types of employees, the expansion of business globally, the mobility of people and advancement in technologies has created different categories of employees now within an organization, such as, you know, expats are there. You have different people coming in from the expats who is from the brands, especially if it's for example, the company has recently set up a base in India now, and they have been in the US for the long run. And the India business needs to be really put into stable, bring into a settlement area. So hence, what you will do is the investor in India would definitely want an expatriate to come from the head office and lead the business for a while, settle it, hand it over to the India business, and then move on further. So these are the kind of different people that we come across and we work together. Expatriates, your locals, your contract employees. Contract employees on a very, very high rise nowadays. If you have a particular project and you require individuals working in that particular project for a while, and you do not really need them for like years, 2 years, you do not see their future in the next 2 years. You only see them working in a particular project which is not more than 8 months to a year. So hence what you will do is you will contract employees. I have recently come across because I have been on my own consulting assignments now. So I have recently come across a Tata organization who reached out to me saying that would you like to sign up a contract with us for a year? So I said, what is that? I mean, how much time and all that? And they wanted, because their HR So they're one of the HR heads. She's on pregnancy leave, and they give along with 6 months. They also give Tata's also encourages extended leave till the time the child settles down and the mother is able to return back confidently to work. So hence it's almost a matter of about 10 months to a year, and obviously nobody will come for 10 months. So hence they're trying to extend out a contract for a year. So for the time being, when this woman who is contributing in the organization has been on leave, so that her being away or her time with the child remains positive, and she is not being called and bothered at times when she is actually required to take care of the child, they are actually hiring a contract employee so that the contract person can take it over for that time that she is away. So I did not take it up finally because then it restricts my assignments with the other clients. So hence I did not take it up. But there are people who would be willing to do this, because a lot of people are looking at contract assignments nowadays. Caste or racial diversity, which has been there since years put together now. In many countries, there is existence of the caste system, not only in India, and racial differences. The talented and skilled worker may belong to a different caste or race. What do we do about it? Do we not hire this person, or do we not take work from this person? So in many countries and many organizations still have got stringent policies around caste and race. So those are some of the factors which encourages diversity. So undermining a caste and racial difference will definitely bring a better goodwill amongst the industries. Economic payback and social responsibility, we have been talking about it. Various groups have been disadvantaged and have been excluded from workforce and are reliant on tax-funded social service programs run by the government. So hence, if somebody has been in subgroup, have been disadvantaged and been completely been disadvantaged just because of that particular one drawback that they bring in with them, they've been excluded from the work group, and so that could be that there could be programs run by the government which can look after these kind of differences. Legal requirements. In a lot of countries, there are legislative mandates to be non-discriminatory, and their employment practices, equal employment opportunity should be there, or affirmative action legislation. So these are some of the legal and litigation requirements that are going to be there, and that has to be embraced with great positivity. So this will definitely, taking care of the legal requirements, time to time, whatever legal requirements come into place are being followed, will definitely encourage diversity. Capacity building strategy, rapid changes in the form of business environment. We are seeing those changes every now and then. The whole business environment has become so dynamic in today's date, and change is constantly happening. And we learn a new technology, and then next day we realize that there is another one which has come and disrupted already. So rapid changes is the norm in the business environment of this century now, and organizations that possess the capability to effectively find solutions, adapt to new circumstances, quickly identify and capitalize on new opportunities. Let's take the example of the pandemic hit. When the whole gamut of industries have started working from home, which they did not even have distant dreams even to think of, that our entire organization will start working remotely. And there are organizations which have completely shut shops. There are organizations who have just somehow managed it with some percentage of employees. There are organizations which in fact has turned this whole new normal around, right? They have adopted it so well, they adapted to the new practices so well that they have completely constricted the office, made just a satellite kind of an office and rest everybody else, the whole workforce works from home, and they have improved their profits like nobody's business. Right. So this is what is your capacity building strategy. So you build, you constantly train to be able to face the new challenges. Then comes your diversity. So diversity management should actually focus on two things. First is that and it enhances the social justice by fostering an environment where no one is advantaged or disadvantaged owing to features such as race or gender or caste. You know, say for example, the women are getting the privilege of leaving workplace at 5 o'clock. Have you heard of that? There used to be in public sectors and government, we used to hear a lot about that. I remember where my dad was working earlier, women were, he was in the public sector, and women employees had a lot of upper hand. So even if they were working in the plant, they used to finish their work. They were allowed to leave by 4:30. 4:30 the max that you can see any woman around at the factory. And for the male, it would not finish before 6. Okay, so it says that the diversity management should focus on these two things, that it shouldn't be advantaged. Any particular group or individual should not be advantaged or disadvantaged because of his gender, because of his race or caste or anything. Now, I gave you the example of the gender bias, but here it's saying that it shouldn't be the other races as well, okay, other criteria as well. So we should be equal opportunity organization, taking work equally and paying equally to all kinds of genders and differences. Second focus is that it enhances the productivity and profitability of businesses. So these are the two things that the diversity management should focus on. The focus on the social justice by fostering an environment where no one is advantaged or disadvantaged because of his differences that he brings along, and enhances the productivity and profitability of the business. So these are the two main focus areas for diversity management by the leaders. Diversity management is also, by the way, self-initiated. It's very intrinsic. Okay, so it's largely a voluntary principle adopted by the organizations and not enforced or coerced. Okay, it cannot be threatened saying that, hey, you have to do this, otherwise your organization will be closed down. Nothing of that sort works when it comes to diversity. Okay, it has to be very, very self-initiative. Only in cases where organization attempts to meet the legal requirements. So for example, some sudden legal requirement has been put by, special safety measures are being put. And that is something that the organization probably is not ready to face as yet, or the kind of budgets that are incorporated with it is something that they're not prepared with. Then, it could be a non-self-initiated thing. It could be something which is been enforced. So this form is, but it's a very, very small portion of the overall initiatives undertaken by the organization towards this end. Okay. It is diversity management is highly, highly, highly inclusive. It does not only focus on certain specific groups that are to benefit according to laws. It is not about, a lot of people think like that this organization is going gung-ho about hiring. I have seen recently, in 4 or 5 years now, I have seen that chains used to have a lot of these Down syndrome people, physically challenged employees at workplace, and they would really, really showcase them, I would say. Okay, so when you see that, when you see differently abled people, you do not, it's good to have them. You are making your organization so inclusive that you are having them in equal standards of the other employees. You are not, but if you continuously keep saying that, you know, we have a differently abled person over here, he's the one who will be doing this, he's the one who is doing that. So this brings in a lot of, you know, just to catch the attention of the viewers or the consumers, this is not something that you should do. Okay, so as an organization, it is, yes, the diversity management is highly inclusive, but at the same time, it should not only focus on certain specific group that is there. So if they're there, they're well and good, they should be looked at equally as the other, you know, the other people who are not differently abled. The development of culturally responsible and responsive curricula is also promoted. Okay, so it's culturally responsible and responsive curriculum needs to be promoted all the time. And it results, so this will result in the facilitation and acquisition of the skill, knowledge and attitude to function in various cultures. So this will actually promote the whole culture of, you know, working in any kind of environment and training oneself in developing the knowledge, skill and attitude required for that particular culture, for that particular function in the cultural context. It targets to provide tangible benefits, right? So diversity management targets to provide tangible benefits. It is a business strategy with a goal to tap the full potential of the human resource for a competitive edge. So we are not going to leave, or we are not going to specially pick up people with different skills, but it should be a goal for the organization to be able to tap the full potential of human capital. For example, one case study that has been there is about Infosys. They felt the need to be inclusive about gender due to stiffening war of talent that they faced, okay, because of the globalization, because of the exposure to different countries and everything, and you know, which required, which was a huge scarcity of talent which happened in them. Then that's when they said, okay, there's a need for being inclusive to gender now. Okay, we need to have more women employees, and that's when they started hiring more women and started making a very, very healthy ratio of gender in the workplace. Thank you.